Chapter 9. Purple Horizon. The Purple Horizon was only 5 kilometres from Granville. People often drove all long distances to enjoy a meal there. Sitting up high, the marvellous view from the dining room windows extended far across a deep valley to distant rolling hills in the hazy horizon. From the outside, the restaurant didn't look at all that special. It was a century-old, very rectangular homestead, with a faded pink clapboard finish. Rambling country gardens surrounded the small lot. But once you entered the main doors and stood in the darkened hallway, lit only by a candlelight chandelier, a quaint, romantic air whispered a promise that you were in for a wonderful treat. In his Hawaiian shirt, which he'd purchased on his trip over, and a pair of dark jeans, Peter waited with his parents in the small, shadowy hall. The Arantos hadn't yet arrived, and there were two other families in the line ahead of the Bryants. The Purple Horizon was a popular spot, and a waitress relayed the message that it would be at least 15 minutes before any tables were free. Such a delay didn't bother Peter or his parents. They weren't in any hurry. Peter was reading the framed turn-of-the-century newspaper clippings on the wall. His mother was examining the fresh roses in the large tub that sat nearby. His father had walked over to the chalkboard and was silently reading the menu in the flickering light. However, a family at the front of the line struggled with two small children who were loudly proclaiming how hungry they were. Out of the corner of his eye, Peter saw the waitress return with a couple of lollipops, and soon the youngsters quieted down. Now it was possible to hear the soft music that was playing in the background. Directly in front of Peter was a tall young lady who was mildly conversing with what Peter assumed were her parents and brother. Peter overheard something about a long trip, and then the lanky teenage boy gave his opinion on which hotel they should stay in that night. Out-of-town visitors, Peter deduced. He wondered what had brought them to Granville. It wasn't much of a tourist attraction. Then the older man turned his face sideways to make a quiet comment to his wife, and Peter noticed he looked vaguely familiar. "Do you feel like chicken divan tonight, Mary?" Peter's father asked, continuing to examine the menu. "Or perhaps we should try rainbow trout with crispy fried potatoes." Then he read the next line. "Hey, Pete, this one's for you. Lasagna a la Parmesan. Is that still your favourite?" "Certainly one of them," Peter laughed. His mother started telling him a little more about the Arantos so he would know what to expect, but while Peter listened and responded, his eyes were drawn to the man in front of him. In the faint light, he strained to search for clues. Surely he knew that husky, grey-haired man with the closely trimmed beard, but he couldn't recall who he was or even why he might know him. Glancing over at the rest of the family, Peter hoped he would recognise one of them, but to no avail. There wasn't anything particularly striking about the tall young lady. Brown hair hung limply to her shoulders, and Peter was sure he'd never seen her face before. His eyes passed on to the mother. Did he know anyone with short grey hair and a large, friendly smile? Just then the front doors opened behind them and sunlight illuminated the room. It would have been the perfect opportunity to view the family more carefully, but Peter was distracted by his mother's welcoming cry. "Bill! June, come right in! We're just waiting to be seated. It should be any time now." Peter whirled around as Rose Aranto came in the door. Immediately he was transfixed. Two lovely dark eyes set off a beautiful face. Streaked chestnut-brown hair hung in layers down past her shoulders. Large hoop earrings dangled against her neck. She was slim and shapely, and the white suit she was wearing set off her olive complexion. When she smiled, Peter was at a complete loss for words. Remembering his manners, Peter shook hands with her parents first. They were quite a distinguished couple in their early 50s, with graying hair and fashionable clothes. They looked like just the sort of people that would get on well with his own mum and dad. Rose's dad shook hands in a hearty fashion and spoke in a deep, booming voice. "Good to meet you, Peter Bryant. We've heard lots about you this week." Finally, Peter shook hands with Rose. "Pleased to meet you," he smiled gently. And he was. "We've been hearing so much about you, Peter," Rose reiterated with a shy laugh. "I can't believe how brave you were to run into a burning church and rescue that poor little girl." What she said wasn't anything Peter hadn't already heard from the neighbours, but it provoked a much different response. He heard himself saying, "Yes, it's a good thing I ran in when I did. A few seconds later the roof came crashing in, and it would have been too late." Immediately Peter wished he could retract his words. "I can't believe it," he thought disappointedly. "I just patted myself on the back." However, the Arantos looked even more impressed by his bravado than they had before. During the introductions, Peter heard a voice gasp behind him. "It's Peter!" But when the waitress tapped his father on the arm to let them know there was a table available, the other families had already moved on. Following the waitress to a large table at the back of the room, Peter glanced around curiously to look for the older man with the beard, but he didn't see him anywhere. "So, how does it feel to be a hero?" Bill asked, once they were seated in the private high-back benches across from each other. Rose had the most beautiful smile. "A hero?" Peter laughed, determined not to lose his head this time. "Can hardly say that I know." "How modest," June remarked approvingly. Peter felt embarrassed. His attempt to play things down had backfired. He quickly changed the subject. "Have you lived in Granville for long?" "A couple of years. And what do you think of it?" From there, the conversation carried on, unimpeded. After they ordered their meal, they discussed the pros and cons of living in such a small town. While they enjoyed the unique and savory meal, decorated with fresh herbs and edible flowers, Peter learned a lot about Rose and what she liked to do. She was into skiing, volleyball, horseback riding, dancing, fine restaurants, romantic movies, traveling, and lots more. She worked in downtown Brampton, on the 15th floor of the Royal Bank office tower, and found Granville to be a rather drab little town. For all the variety of things that Rose enjoyed, religion didn't seem to have much of a part in her life, and that didn't bother Peter at all. The more they talked, the more impressed he became with his mother's matchmaking skills. Although they were all sitting at one table, Peter and Rose were soon deeply absorbed in a conversation of their own, until someone's hand clapped Peter on the shoulder. "Peter Bryant," said a warm, hearty voice. "I'm sorry to disturb you, but..." Looking up, Peter saw the man with the grey hair and closely trimmed beard. In an instant, he knew exactly who it was. "Mr. Simons!" he exclaimed, rising from his chair. Peter looked at the older man for a brief moment in surprise, before enveloping him in a gigantic hug. "I thought I recognized you," he laughed. "I was looking at you while we were waiting in line, only..." He pulled back and looked at Craig Simons more carefully. "Only you didn't have a beard the last time I saw you." Peter glanced over at Craig's wife, Beth, and Mrs. Simons used to have long hair. They all were happy to see one another, and Peter felt emotion welling up inside him again. Greeting the Simons was almost like greeting family. Craig and Beth were as friendly as ever, as though he had never disappointed them or turned his back on God. Peter wished he had done more to keep in touch. "I had no idea you were behind us," Craig laughingly explained, "until we heard someone call out your name." "And then we overheard your friends talking about the fire," Beth added, "and we knew it was you for sure. Thomas told us all about it." Peter smiled, but he didn't want to talk about the fire. He glanced over at the tall young lady and the lanky teen standing hesitantly behind their parents. So this was Jessica Simons, Craig Simons' daughter, Purity's maid of honour. This was the little girl Peter had once thought was the cutest child he'd ever met. Now she was nearly as tall as he was, and her pretty blonde hair had become a dull, mousy brown. The big blue eyes he remembered so well were no longer so beseechingly round. She looked rather shy and serious and very ordinary. However, Peter extended his hand to greet Jessica and Alan warmly. "Wow, you've both grown up so much," he exclaimed with a laugh. "I certainly wouldn't have recognized either of you." "Well, we'll be on our way," Craig said. "We've been travelling for the last 2 days, and everyone is anxious for a hot shower and a good night's sleep." "See you at the rehearsal tomorrow," Beth called out as they left. "So who are they?" Rose asked, once Peter returned to his seat. "Craig Simons was one of my former high school teachers," he replied, "and that was his family, or at least the youngest two." "And you're all going to the same wedding?" Peter explained the connections and the roles Craig and Jessica had in the wedding. "So you're the groom's best man," she clarified, "and that tall girl is the maid of honour. She looks so young. Is the bride just a teenager too?" "No, the bride is about our age," Peter shrugged. "I'm not sure how the two of them became such good friends. Maybe it's more like a big sister, little sister kind of thing." After a delicious slice of raspberry pie and another half an hour of conversation, it was time to go. "So what are you doing next week?" Rose asked, as they walked together towards the front doors. "I don't have much planned, really." "Well, I know an amazing restaurant down in the city, right near where I work. They have fabulous food, and there's a gigantic cinema just across the road. Since we both love movies," Rose added with a smile, "why don't you meet me down there Wednesday evening?" "Sounds great," Peter replied. And it did. It really did,